So remember a couple of weeks ago when I told y'all about Purpose at Steppenwolf? Yeah, that's the play everybody's been talking about, not just me. The one showcasing the drama of a fictional Black Chicago family full of esteemed civil rights leaders, pastors, and congresspeople. Yeah, now we're on the same page. Well, people have been raving about it so much that the run has been extended again through mid-May. The Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, and the Trib have all given Purpose 4 stars, with the Trib calling it the birth of a truly great new Chicago play. So, don't wait to go see it. The show must close May 12th, and tickets start at $20 at steppenwolf.org. That's steppenwolf.org. Today on CityCast Chicago, the Italian beef sandwich has been having a moment. That's partly due to the hit TV show The Bear, which is set in a fictional Italian beef joint in the city and returns for season 2 this summer on Hulu. But what makes a great Italian beef? Longtime food critic Kevin Pang set out to answer this very question in his podcast Proof from America's Test Kitchen. It's Thursday, January 26th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago.
This rotisserie chicken, man, Jacoby, I'm telling you, it's roasting and all the drippings are falling on this bed of roast potatoes underneath. So the potatoes is like chicken fat potatoes. Okay. Oh, it's incredibly good. So
why did we put this conversation at this time of the day, Shep? I'm falling apart right now.
I know.
This conversation of chicken. And egg.
Good thing I just ate dinner, you know?
Kevin, welcome to CityCast Chicago.
Hey, Jacoby, nice to be with you.
Now, I appreciate you making time. Kevin, the title of the episode is The World's Greatest Italian Beef, something I'm sure plenty of Chicagoans are going to have an opinion on. But first, for listeners who are not familiar with the sandwich, can you describe an Italian beef?
Oh, the Italian beef. Well, you take roast beef. You shave it super well. You take roast beef that's been cooked for a long time with a lot of different spicings and Italian spices and garlic and basil and oregano. And once you cook that, you shave it super thin, you pile it on a French roll, and then you dip it in the pan drippings, and then you top it with either grilled bell peppers or with this almost spicy pickled bricolage of vegetables relish called giardiniera. Mm-hmm. And it's this messy mound of a sandwich, and Chicagoans have been eating it and loving it for nearly 100 years.
I had a friend call me just this past weekend, and he was just like, bro, I just walked out of Johnny's, and he said it's one of the best Italian beefs I ever had. And I mean, the beauty of it is a very simple sandwich, right? Beef piled onto like a French roll with some jus, with some sauce and some peppers. But when people talk about Chicago's food canon, maybe at large, is the Italian beef on that Mount Rushmore?
You know, I don't think it would be high on the list, because most people who are coming to Chicago for the first time, Jacoby, you know, the two things they want are deep dish pizza. Actually, the three things they want are deep dish pizza, a Chicago hot dog, and Garrett popcorn, right? Those are the three things that they want. Now, since I've been eating around Chicago professionally for so long, I would dare to say that I feel that rib tips and maybe the Italian beef are much more representative, and even like the tavern style pizza. Because
hey, you, my boy, you said rib tips. Like I was already with you. As soon as you was like rib tips need to be on the list, I was like, come on, Kevin.
You and I can be best friends, because like I love rib tips, and I will, man, you and I will go down to Uncle John's, and you know, we'll
let's go.
But to my point though, it's that you look at a food like rib tips, you look at food like Italian beef, you look at a food like the party cut Chicago pizza. And I'm talking about like the cracker crust that you would get at a place like Vito and Next. That is the food of the proletariat. That is the food of the people, you know?
But the history, when I listen to the podcast episode, they say there's what, three kind of different stories behind the Italian beef, but they all kind of share a theme. So what is that history of the sandwich?
So I first really dove deep into Italian beefs when I was a food critic at the Chicago Tribune. This was many, many years ago. And I wrote a story in 2014 where I tried maybe about 22, 24 different Italian beef restaurants. And I ate one for lunch and one for dinner every single day for a few weeks. It was kind of crazy. It was a lot. And I certainly got some Italian beefs. Okay.
Were you able to really get at the minor differences and the, right? Because it's a similar sandwich wherever you go, but obviously is different wherever you go.
Totally. But you know what? I look at it the same way, Jacoby, as if I'm standing at a Best Buy and I see the row of TVs before me. Look, it's all a TV. It'll all play the same show. But when you're looking at it, you can spot the minute differences. One's got a bit better resolution. One's got better like saturation. One's got better contrast. You know, you're able to tell the minute differences. And especially when you're eating 24 Italian beefs in a row, you definitely can tell the minute differences.
And so as you were going through this marathon of sandwiches, what's that history that you learn about?
So there was a lot of, I wasn't quite able to nail down the person who really came up with it. But then, you know, in recent months when I was embarking on this podcast for America's Test Kitchen, the thing I realized, and I consulted this historian.
My name's Anthony Buccini. I'm by training an historical linguist, but I've been doing research in food history for a very long time now.
Dr. Buccini is the authority on Italian beefs. He's the author of a paper titled From Peanut Weddings to Beef Stance, The Socioculinary History of Chicago's Italian Beef.
Basically, he said, rather than thinking of it as like one person inventing it, you need to look at it as it grew out of circumstance. Mm-hmm. And the circumstance was that around the 1920s and 1930s, there was a group of Neapolitans, which are the Italians from Naples, who would come specifically to Taylor Street.
And it was an essential part of an institution in Chicago known as the Peanut Wedding, which was a working class wedding, a poor wedding, and people would eat Italian beef at it. At a wedding gathering, you have people of all different ages, people without teeth or with bad teeth, kids who can't chew hard things. It's a perfect food that everyone could eat. The bread gets softened with the gravy, and it works for everyone.
And Dr. Buccini said that you could, you know, this dish or some variation of it really existed back 500, 600, 700 years ago. But really, where it really became popular and took on the name Italian beef and served with the giardiniera, that really happened on Taylor Street in Chicago.
So you actually set out to make the best Italian beef sandwich, which assumes you don't think it currently exists, right? You said something that I found really interesting, like you never really had in your life an Italian beef better than a B minus, but that doesn't matter to you.
Well, first, I mean, 2 points to say about that, Jacoby. So first, number one, world's best Italian beef. Yeah, you can say there's a little bit of a hyperbole behind that. You can say that we're trying to get people to listen to a podcast, but that was kind of the intention because, and to point number two, Italian beefs are good. I've never had one where I thought, oh my God, this has rocked my world. You know, and seeing how that this dish post the bear on FX was lionized as this world's greatest sandwich. I mean, everybody and their mothers, especially in food media, national food media, was writing about this like it was the next great thing, like it was the world's greatest sandwich. And like, is it the world's greatest sandwich? No. Is it a great sandwich? Yes, but certainly not, you know, the world's greatest, right? And I wanted to create a Italian beef that in my ideal would be beyond a B plus and hopefully become an A and an A plus, right? And so I decided to team up with my local butcher, and there's a butcher shop in Northfield, Illinois, named Hofer meat company. And Hofer Meat's actually been around for many, many decades. And, you know, they're like their grandfather of the owners, like, had a place on the south side. And so there's a lot of deep history around that, right? But now it's been in the north suburbs. And so I approached them one day, and I knew the owners, Sean and Ariel Hofer. And I said, what if you what if we come up with a really, really, like, great Italian beef that, number one, respects the tradition of Italian beefs. And so, but what if we made it with, you know, the finest ingredients and whatever the price is? Because most Italian beefs are $8, $9. If you try to charge $15, you would go out of business because people don't expect an Italian beef to be $15. But let's say, let's make an Italian beef for $15. Would it be twice as good as one that's $7.50? So we set that out. These guys saw it more than, oh, you know, it's, this would be nice publicity. But for them, it was more than that, because mm-hmm. it was about, these are dyed-in-the-wool Chicagoans. And these are people that saw this as civic pride, because they are very much experts on butchering and on how to, what cuts of meat that they were going to work with. They knew from the beginning that what they wanted to do, they didn't want just to be this lean cut, like bottom round. That's usually what Italian beefs are made of. They decided to use chuck roll, which is from the shoulder. It's a little bit of a fattier cut. Fat equals flavor. And they also decided not to use dry spices. A lot of these places, they'll just put like garlic powder and like dried oregano, things like that. They wanted to use fresh garlic, you know, they wanted to use,
cook it down and then puree it into a sauce.
Precisely.
Throughout the podcast episode, there's this countdown towards B-Day. What was B-Day?
B-Day is, we just called it B-Day because it was short for Beef Day, which I suppose I really didn't shorten it that much, right? I could have just called it Beef Day. The day that we were going to try to sell 100 of these sandwiches. And surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, the Hofer people, you know, head down, they knew exactly what to do. They were disciplined. 5 days before B-Day on December 3rd, I was tasting it and I thought, this is really incredible. Like, this beef is unctuous and juicy and fatty. And the giardiniera was absolutely incredible.
Good stuff.
It was first made in 2019. And so this stuff's been aging, like, in his basement for three, four. It sounds kind of gross to say aging the basement, but, you know, it's been naturally fermenting and it's been aging gracefully for 3 years. And, you know, when you taste it, it really does taste different from any giardiniera that you have. There's this depth of flavor. It's funky. It's acidic, but without vinegar. A lot of giardiniera uses vinegar. This one doesn't. And it's just really, there's a depth of flavor that I've never had before about this giardiniera. And this was the one that he was serving to our guests on December 3rd.
Well, firstly, I'm proud to be reduced down to my giardiniera. You can reduce me anytime you want. The first thing I think of is my dad. We spent a lot of time together cooking. He worked at the shop here. And he taught me how to make this giardiniera. And I spent a lot of time making giardiniera with him.
Was it the world's greatest Italian beef? Was it the best one? You, as someone who had done the research, eaten 24 on top of the life's worth of Italian beefs that you had eaten, how good was it?
Well, you know, it's hard for me not to be biased. I mean, it was the best Italian beef I've had. But that's set up to say
it smacked. It was great.
I mean, it is. But it's, here's the thing. It's that it's not me who thought, it doesn't matter what I think, right? It's like what
the customers,
people, exactly. How do people, what do people think about this? And so, you know, I won't spoil too much of sort of what happens, but we had some, let's call them VIPs, mm-hmm. Drop by. And, you know, really it's what they thought and it's really what the customers who spent $16 on this thought. And, you know, all I'll say is that it went way beyond what I expected. It was way more emotional because it wasn't just about was a sandwich good or not. And, you know, I think for all those people involved, they got something out of it that I feel was really, it really resonated with them and it really made all that work really worthwhile.
Kevin, it was great to hear not only your personal history, but to hear the larger Chicago history behind the sandwich, to hear this this butcher shop and this family come together. It really was a great episode, and I'm glad you came to CityCast Chicago to share a little bit of it with us.
Thanks, Jacoby. Love your show.
Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. At least one person is dead and eight others were injured after a fire broke out at an apartment building in Kenwood Wednesday. Inspectors have cited that building 12 times for alleged code violations in just the last year, eight of which were related to fire safety. There are two mayoral forums scheduled today, including the WCPT forum at 12:30 in the Loop and the People's Unity Coalition forum at 6:30 in West Garfield Park. Congratulations to the 11 Chi-Town chefs and restaurants who were named semifinalists for the prestigious James Beard Awards. The ceremony will be held at the Lyric Opera later this year. And some good news to get you through. Avondale Music Venue / Beer Garden Sleeping Village is celebrating 5 years with a string of concerts starting tonight through Saturday. Check out the lineups in the show notes. As always, we appreciate you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago, at chicago.citycast.fm. And we'll see you back here tomorrow when we're breaking down some key stories from the week. Peace.
You know, the party cut pizza, that is the food of the proletariat. That is the food of the people, you know?
I can bet you they're going to cut that part right out there and just blast that on social media. That amazing. And just put, I hope they put a little gospel music underneath it as you saying what you're saying.